baby, how you
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning in Tally Town. How are you, folks? Hey, thanks for tuning in. We are here early on a Saturday at 9 o'clock right here at Freedom 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, our home station. Glad you've tuned in. We've got a great show lined up. Commissioner Brian DeLoge should join us today. Leon County Commissioner Mr. DeLoge will be with us. And we're also looking at keeping our groundwater and other such things safe and pure and clean. And so we've got the guys from Southern Waste Information Exchange, Gene Jones and Ray Moreau. They'll join us. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. For accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but...
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect.
Well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
He owns Capital City Collision Center, down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road. Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great, and they're great to work with.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202. So here we are on a Saturday. We're talking about what's been going on in the week. Florida State plays Maryland later today at noon, and lots of other stories of interest, and more than we could probably squeeze into the next couple of minutes. By the way, if you want to get your dog or cat or other pets blessed, you can do that today over there at Mission San Luis between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. today, the blessing of animals. Kind of a cool little thing we do here in town, an example of what makes this town a little bit different, I think, than most. Other stories, the Heritage Trail was installed and unveiled. If you haven't had a chance, go down there to see that magnificent installation. Our good friends over there at Master Craftsman Studio put all that together. And, of course, there is ongoing talk about the use of force over there at TPD. In this conversation, we thought we'd bring Commissioner DeLoge to help give us a little perspective further on the role of government, so he's going to be with us in just a few minutes. And in that ongoing conversation about the role of government, Commissioner DeLoge will be with us shortly. But first, let's find out about this thing called Operation Medicine Cabinet. Ray Moreau, who is part of the Southern Waste Exchange, and his colleague here, Gene Jones. How are you guys?
Good. Very good.
Well, we're glad to have you with us. Help us out here. So your mission is fairly broad in that Southern Waste Exchange gets involved in all kinds of activities that are designed to help preserve and protect the natural environment. So we don't need to be taking old computers and throwing them in a landfill. I know you've been a part of that effort in the past to try to recycle electronics. This time we're talking about something you've called Operation Medicine Cabinet. That's coming up, I guess, a week from today on the 12th. What's that all about?
Well, Brian, if I can, the Southern Waste Information Exchange, we're a nonprofit organization that assists industries and municipalities with waste issues. We do a lot of contract work for the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, and this event came about 4 years ago with looking at ways that we can assist industry, help promote proper management of materials, and the concept of what to do with end-of-life pharmaceuticals came up, and that's how this event got started.
Okay, end-of-life pharmaceuticals. So all of those kinds of prescription drugs, easy for me to say, that would otherwise end up in our water supply ultimately that can be hazardous. And you're saying that for those situations where people think, well, gosh, I mean, don't we have waste treatment plants? They're going to filter all that out. Ray, what's the answer?
Well, our plants won't filter certain chemicals that are contained in prescription and non-prescription drugs.
Okay.
And so that's the root of the problem in terms of trying to educate folks about not flushing this material in their sinks, through their sinks, or in their toilets.
So then there is a proper method of disposal that doctors' offices, hospitals, and such probably administer because they're set up to do that. But guys like me, I mean, we're just stupid, right? And so we think, well, gosh, it's been 2 years and that probably isn't going to hurt anybody. There's only three or four little pills left in there, and so I just toss it in some way or another. That's not a good thing.
No, it's not. And what we're trying to do is to educate folks that, you know, there is a proper method for disposing of these chemicals and pharmaceuticals. And the one thing we don't want folks to do is to flush them down the toilet.
Yeah.
It's better for you, and there are some guidelines that the department has released that if you do have to dispose of them, there's proper ways to do that in terms of being able to contain them and dispose of them in the landfill versus flushing them down the toilet.
And this organization that you represent, Southern Waste Information Exchange, its mission is fairly broad. Tell us about SWICS.
SWICS got started back in 1981. It's actually a joint program that was formed between Florida State University, then the Department of Environmental Regulation, and the Florida Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
It operated underneath the university system until 1997, which we took it out of the university system and made it a separate 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Okay.
And the mission of the group is to basically assist industry and waste municipalities with waste management issues.
And so in that way, there is a strong educational component, public awareness, public information campaigns that you, and this is part of that, this Operation Medicine Cabinet, but it's also feet on the ground, isn't it?
It is. We do a number of events throughout the year under contractual basis with the department. We assist them in educating folks on the topic du jour, you know, whatever it is that the industry or the agency wants to focus on at a given time.
So they've got a problem here that you're going to try to help solve in terms of how to properly dispose of unwanted material of some kind.
Exactly, and that's ranged from pharmaceuticals to ammunition to construction and demolition debris material,
electronic
waste, food waste, a whole host of materials that we have looked at over the years.
Well, it's a great solution. In fact, I had a couple old computers that I was trying to get rid of, and try as I might, I was unable to flush them down my toilet. So I thought, you know, this is a good idea. You guys had the, that was a few years back. You did a
electronics we operated recycling. In conjunction with Leon County, a program that was held every year at Earth Day.
Yeah.
Where we would actually, and Home Depot was involved in that, and we would actually collect old electronics, and make sure they were properly recycled.
What is that? What do? Do you crush them? Do you melt them down? I mean,
there's a whole host of firms that are out in the marketplace now that will
stuff.
Take that.
Okay.
Some of them triage the equipment and break them out for reusable parts. Others will simply go. There's some big grinders out on the marketplace right now, and some of these firms have destruction equipment that destroy all the hard drives and electronic equipment, and then they mechanically sort out the metal, the plastics, and other the parts that make up electronic equipment and sort them out for recycling purposes.
I remember the this whole process called pyrolysis. Has ever come up in your conversations?
Yes.
Eggheads like you guys probably would talk about pyrolysis.
Yeah,
probably the two guys on the planet that actually...
Gasification, send gas, or
I mean, I thought pyrolysis was such a cool thing. You take a refrigerator, you put it inside of a machine, and you get usable carbon that comes out. But it costs you more to run the thing than the fuel that you get is worth. So,
well, surprisingly, that's actually changing.
I hope
and,
so.
And you're going to see some new technologies coming to the forefront in the not-too-distant future. They've
Very
already
cool.
started to pop up.
We should hope so. Well, this is cool. And so this Operation Medicine Cabinet happens Saturday the 12th. What's the time frame?
11 to 3. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Over at Costco's. The Costco store. Armando, our good friend over there, the general manager, he's a good buddy of ours, helps support us in our Christmas Connection promotion every year. Costco there, just off of Buck Lake Road on the east side, October the 12th, coming up from 11 to 3. And we're going to be out there bringing all of our expired medications, folks. And so that's the idea here. These good gentlemen, Gene Jones, Ray Moreau, have been our guests this morning. Guys, thanks for being a part of it.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate Thank you. All you're doing. Thanks for being here. Southern Waste Information Exchange. If you want to get to the website, you can learn more. SWIX.WS is the website. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with us.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Commissioner Brian DeLoge is our guest. How are you, sir?
Rise and shine. I'm good. How are you?
You are good, yes. You look bright, ready. You've been on a mountaintop lately. Have you been...
I was in Colorado a couple weeks ago, did some climbing.
Just for that, yeah, just to say. You do that a lot, though. You're an avid outdoorsman, and you get out there wherever you can and whenever you can.
I love to travel. Yeah. I really have a passion for travel, and I found that trying to challenge myself physically when I'm out in different places. So I did 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago now, I did Denali. I summited Denali, which
Was a we kind of heard about that.
And then,
like the guy who did it before you died?
Well, there were... six people that passed away while I was on the mountain in the 3 weeks or so I was on the mountain.
So did somebody come along and slap you after this and just say, look, don't do that. What's wrong with you?
My wife, my mother, my sister, my
aunt. I see the scars.
Yeah. So then I went to, I was down in Argentina the very end of last year, beginning of this year. And it was originally planned to be a trip that was going to be 3 weeks. Higher than Denali, not as physically demanding, but not nearly as dangerous. That's kind of the way they build it.
Now, is this a metaphor? Are you the guy who just likes finding a mountain somewhere to climb it?
The challenge. I like, you know, the fact that I'm not sure if I could finish it. In Argentina's case, it didn't work out so well. Oh. I got a pulmonary edema, and they helicoptered me off the mountain. So I cut the trip short.
You know, we do need you back here occasionally just to do things. I'm saying.
So,
not that we want to impose, but we'd like you to be alive at least. What is it then, you think? Does that translate, seriously, does that translate into how you see business and government and life in general, that life is really a challenge to be taken?
I mean, I don't think if you don't dream big and you don't go after big goals, I think you're missing the boat. I mean, we got one shot at it here, and I think that too often people are complacent and they get life take them away. I'm a big believer in setting goals and setting big goals. Mm. You know, I think we need more people in government and in, you know, that are willing to get in the game and try and work through some of the issues.
And you've been in it for a while. District 4 is your...
I've got the Northeast, everything north of I-10, east of Meridian, yeah.
How long have you been a commissioner? I've lost count.
I got elected in...
You were like 18? Yeah.
I got elected in 06, and I ran in 8 and 12. I'll come back up again in 16.
You're not tired of it?
No, I'm actually... I'm energized. It's a great job. It's a challenging job. I have to tell you, my opinion of public sector employees has risen dramatically since I got on board. I've been in the private sector all my life. And so I held kind of a jaded opinion. And I have family members. My father taught at Florida State for 40 years. But I've always thought of public sector employees of maybe, well, they can't cut it in the private sector. I can tell you that in the county's perspective, which is my kind of swim lane, we have people in there that would rock the world in the private sector. And they do this by choice. It's an interesting kind of a mix of pieces and parts. I mean, think about it. We've got, you know, a sheriff's department that runs a jail. You've got inmates in the jail that have all sorts of medical issues. You've got courtrooms with judges in them. You know, you've got EMTs running around doing the ambulance service. We've got roads to maintain. We've got parks to maintain. We've got community centers. We've got, we run a kind of a safety net for healthcare in our community. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and it's a lot more complex and a lot more interesting. And more challenging than I think I would have given it credit for from the outside looking in.
What drew you in initially? Do you think, was it motivated because you saw a need and you wanted to fill it, or were there people around you saying, we really need your help?
More the second, but my motivation was, I mean, Tallahassee has been great to us. And I got to a point in my life in 06, I had brought some partners into my business. I had a little bit extra time. And I looked around and said, this is the way it used to work. You know, you served on the United Way or the Red Cross or the chamber.
Yeah.
And then when you got to a point, you worked and did your time in the city commission, county commission, school board. That was kind of, local government was where people gave back, and it's the baseline public service. And that...
Is it what you expected it to be initially? Has it changed that much in the years that you've been doing it too?
It's more complex. I mean, I'd be the first to admit it's full contact. It's blood sport. I mean, it's not for the faint.
You like that?
It's not for the faint of heart. I mean, you have to have a thick skin. Every decision you make, somebody's going to feel like they got a raw deal.
At the end of the day, if we're not slapping an oxygen mask on you, you've done something wrong. Is that the
point? I tell you, the one of the big takeaways, Lee Voss, who was one of my opinion, one of the best county commissioners we've ever had, said to me years ago, he said, you're going to have instances where there's 200 or 300 people in that commission chambers, and if they could get a hold of you, they would rip your head off. They are so mad about whatever the issue is. But you need to remember, you represent, because the seven of us represent everybody, even though they're districts. You represent 270,000 people in this county.
Right.
And you need to make decisions based on the general welfare of that larger body, not the vocal minority that happens to be in the chambers that night. Uh-huh. And that's difficult because you've got friends and neighbors and family members that viscerally oppose you on an issue. And I've got neighbors that don't speak to me. I've got extended family members that don't speak to me because decisions were made that they feel like somehow are punitive to them.
Aren't you glad that we're willing to talk with you? I mean, that's got to make you feel so special.
One of the few.
At least. Yeah, when we shut the door on you, know there's something very wrong, right? Because we'll talk to anybody. I mean, come on, what's the matter? So this for you is really a personal sort of quest, a sense of obligation, I guess.
Giving back, I think most of us, I mean, you look at the way most of us live, and I don't want to sound... I mean, anybody in the United States, our standard of living is so far ahead of the majority of the rest of the world.
Mm.
And if you've traveled much outside of this country, and I mean, I've been to Africa and Central and South America.
Huge disparities.
It's unbelievable, the poverty and some of the things you see out there. We have plenty of that in the United States, too. But generally, the majority of the people in our county and, you know, are educated and have food in the refrigerator and have gas in their gas tank. And live a life that is light years in front of what a majority of the rest of the world sees.
In that regard, do you think as a county, speaking to those issues that are germane to your work, we're on the right track?
I think I'm president of the Florida Association of Counties, so I get a chance to see all 67 counties in the state. I really have gotten a chance over the last couple of years to travel a lot around the state, make comparisons, and we rank ourselves against other counties on a couple of different factors that we can. You need to look at a benchmark, and two of the things that we use pretty regularly are, if you take the number of employees that Leon County employs versus the number of people we serve, constituents in Leon County, we are the fourth lowest in the state out of 67 counties. If you look at the size of our budget, which is dictated by the amount of money we raise, property taxes, sales taxes, gas taxes collectively, we are also the fourth or fifth lowest in the state out of 67 counties. And we are, in every time we take like-sized counties, we're considered a medium-sized county, we are the first in our, I mean, in other words, we are the lowest in both cases. So When people talk about, you know, government's inefficient, I get that. There are plenty of inefficient businesses too, but I would say that we are lean by comparison to our peer group, and I'm proud of that.
If in fact, and we were talking just a minute ago then about the rest of the world, and here we are, Leon County, in that world. Within the county, we've been reacquainted with, or maybe introduced to, the idea that among our ranks, there are still plenty of folks that aren't enjoying that same, even average, let's say, standard of living, right? So when I ask you, are we on the right track? Well, there's a lot of ways you can answer that question, of course. Are we on the right track in relative to other counties in terms of how we manage ourselves? Are we on the right track in terms of engaging people and helping people enjoy a better standard of living?
I think so, and I think we have some advantages a lot of the other counties around the state. You know, with 70,000 college students and the amount of public sector we've got here, and a pretty vibrant healthcare community as well, our unemployment is generally less than other parts around the state comparison. We are, when the market started crashing years ago, we were late to the party as far as falling off the cliff. We're late coming out of the ditch. This last year, we actually showed a small reduction in property values again. But, you know, I would argue that the standard of living and the level of quality of life in Leon County is probably one of the best in the state.
Talking with Leon County Commissioner Brian DeLose, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect, just the way it was, you know?
Yeah, well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
The guy we met at that chamber thingy we went to, remember? He owns Capital City Collision Center. He was talking about the whole Gain Street thing, because he's down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road.
And you think they do good work?
You don't remember? Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great. And they're great to work with. And the guy in the paint shop is really cute.
Capital City did that.
Yep. I've got his card here somewhere. Here.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202.
So we're talking about Leon County government, we're talking about lifestyles here in the county, and our good friend Commissioner Brian DeLose has joined us. Glad you're with us too here on this Saturday morning. Freedom 93 is our home for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. It's what we do just to make sure that you're part of the conversation. And by the way, if you haven't done this, shame on you. We have a very attractive website, I think, apart from the fact that it's got my face on it, but TallahasseeTalks.com is where you go, and you can tune in if you've missed a broadcast. All of our shows are there for you, and you can listen at your leisure. Be sure you listen with someone you love, late night kind of thing. Yeah, it's that way. Barry White. Not really, but Commissioner, I'm sorry. I got off on that. I just I haven't had enough or maybe too much coffee. So we're talking about Leon County, and with that in mind, you know, in recent days, we are now in the midst of a controversy with relation to the arrest of Christina West, and with the decidedly elevated conversation about the role of government, or more specifically, the appropriateness of this activity related to this particular case. Was there an excessive use of force? It's going to be with us for a while. This particular situation is not going away anytime soon. I think we get that. But at the same time, several folks, and not the least of which would be the Tallahassee Democrat, done a pretty good job of trying to point to this larger question. Who's in charge, I think was the headline last Sunday. And so I would ask then of you, what is the role of government in this capacity? Who makes those decisions, and how do we go about deciding whether or not
government in some representation, whether it's law enforcement or some legislative or administrative capacity, is overstepping. You know, we want you to fix everything, Brian. We just don't want you to tell us what to do. I mean, can you fix that?
The baseline question is, what is the role of government? And I think first and foremost, it's the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens in the community. And I think you'll get a variety of variations of how far government should go. From government should be everything to everybody in every situation and should save the world because that's what they should do. And the other end of the spectrum is people that say, I don't want government in my life at all. And in fairness, I would argue that government's first role is to do the things that the private sector can't and won't do. The private sector is not going to do courts. The private sector is not going to do roads. The private sector is not going to do, you know, jails. There's certain types of things that by design. Now, 70% of the county budget is mandated by the state. So immediately we have a big chunk of what we do, which is eaten up by state mandates. TPD, they operate as a subsidiary of the city directly. And so the city manager and ultimately the city commissioners, I think, you know, we're elected as is the city to lead our respective body. And I think, you know, in our case it's very similar to the city. We have a county administrator who reports directly to the seven commissioners. And, as we say, and I'm proud of the work that our county administrator does, but any given Tuesday, with four votes, we could change that, and the city under the same scenario. So, you know, really who's in charge are the people that get elected. That's where the leadership is. And now there's organizations below that. Ours is a little different because with constitutional officers, for instance, the sheriff is an elected official. I can't direct traffic at his jail. If a similar thing happened on the county side, it would be the sheriff, who is an elected official, that would end up having to react and respond to that.
What is your personal reaction?
I would say let's let the courts determine and let's let internal investigations. I was shocked when I saw the video, as were most people, but I'm not so sure I see it in the entire frame of things. So I'm not going to draw judgments or declare, you know, it's one way or the other. I will say the one thing that I kind of left me very cold was that knowing that this happened, to not have gone public with this, to arguably put some kind of controls in place to keep it from happening again, is where the failing was. In other words, if I were a commissioner and found out that nobody had told me this for 5 weeks, I would be very upset and I would want to make some changes because that's not the way things should work. I think the next day they should have sat down and had a conference with the commissioners and with the press, in fairness, and said, we had something happen. It's not the way it should happen. It's not the things we're proud of. We've got investigations in place and we're going to let this run itself to the courts and serve it.
And we've asked that question offline with those who were involved and those who were maybe at a second level of involvement, and the response was, well, yeah, but we have situations like that happen every week. So how do you know which ones are going to be the ones that, you know, hit the fan?
And that's a valid question.
You know, because I mean, at the outset of this whole thing was just another example. There was at least one other situation that same evening where someone was arrested and they were injured and they went to the hospital, but that didn't get reported and it didn't come up in the press as such. It didn't come up on a video that went viral.
Yeah.
So then you start to ask, okay, the substance of this particular situation, while disturbing, isn't that particularly unusual, I guess? And as such, are these folks that are charged with maintaining order acting out of line? Have they gone beyond the realm of protocol?
And that's a valid nuance in that, you know, at what level do you have to make all of these public? And
I think if she had not been injured, you know, I mean, because when you look at the video, the squad car may have been hot and she was sweaty and so she slipped off.
Right.
But the fact that she was injured probably
exacerbated it,
made it worse. Yeah. And I wonder too if there is a racial component here. This is a middle-aged white female, right?
In an upper,
upper income neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then again, and some have said, were this an African American individual, maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't have been as well publicized? That's another question that just gets us even more riled up. But I wonder how much these kinds of disturbances, while they are disturbing, distract us from the business at hand.
Which perpetuate and take the headlines is really not where the majority of the people are.
Well, and some have argued, I'm probably one of them, you have to look at where the money goes. Mm-hmm. Look at the money trail. Who's making money off of those controversies? Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking with Brian Deloche here. Folks, thanks for tuning in. If you've just joined us, I'm having a good time. And Brian, you seem to be happy.
I'm always happy.
So there you go. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Stay with me. Time now for another edition of IMAX UMAX with Emily Brown.
I'm Emily Brown with a special edition of IMAX UMAX. Next weekend, October 12th and 13th, the Challenger Learning Center and Tallahassee Community Chorus are teaming up to present the second annual Sing-Along Sound of Music, the classic film with on-screen subtitles on the giant screen so everyone can sing along. This is a movie experience like no other. It includes a vocal warm-up, a tour through your complimentary bag of props to be used with the movie, and a creative costume contest judged by you, the audience. Last year's screenings were a blast and both filled to capacity. Buy your tickets now so you don't miss out on this irresistible fun for the whole family. Tickets are available at www.tcchorus.org or by calling 850-645-7777. With your musical IMAX UMAX, I'm Emily Brown.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life. And Merrymaids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's why we rely on Merrymaids right here at our studios, because, you know, I need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merrymaids make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction. Screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance. Even free consultation. And as a new customer, when you sign up for 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first visit doing the deep cleaning you've probably been wanting to do for yourself. But don't do that. Call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done. Right here in Tallahassee, 386-2205 or online at merrymaids.com.
So we're talking with Brian Deloche here this morning. Commissioner, I want to tell you, for as many mountains as you've climbed, and undoubtedly there are more to be climbed out there for you somewhere, and rivers to be crossed, good of you to take time to sit in here with a fat old white Swedish guy who tries to make sense of all of this. I certainly don't have this figured out, but that's what this show is really all about. And you mentioned the Village Square. Liz Joyner, such a stalwart individual. In fact, Liz and I were talking yesterday, and she had some really great news about the fact that they're going to replicate her model in California. I know she's been trying to work that through for a while. And I don't know if you got word on that, but
well, yeah, I'm actually the co-chair right now.
Are you?
And so I spent some time with Liz yesterday. We've we've got an active Village Square down in the St. Pete area. We are actually in active conversations with Broward County at this point doing something.
Very cool.
We've got some wealthy benefactors on the West Coast that want to basically have us come out there and start up a Village Square in California. And then in the Midwest, Ambassador Katz, who was one of the, you know, it was him and I and Bill Law and a couple other people that started this 6 or 7 years ago, is now in Kansas City. And he's a professor at University of Missouri in Kansas City.
Nice.
And they've asked him to, and he's asked, could he start up a version of Village Square there? So, you know, we're talking about maybe taking this out on a national level, and it just makes a lot of sense.
Sure does.
And if you look at what's going on at the national level, you think this is a little bit of the sanity check they need.
Well, and I don't know if Leon County is particularly representative, but it seems to me that we have a fair amount of diversity, and opinions run pretty strong and pretty deep on a lot of different issues. And if we can make it work, then maybe we could see that same kind of working going on in these other communities. Congratulations, in having achieved that. And God bless you for making the effort, because I think that's really what we intend to do here. And Liz and I, in talking about this, we've asked her to be a regular contributor to our show. So starting here in a few months, we're going to be hearing Our Village with Liz Joyner.
Oh, good.
So she'll come in and file another installment that'll bring us up to date on what's going on in our village as representing the Village Square. So I think that's kind of a
You know,
cool
we've
thing.
Got a great website, tothevillagesquare.org, yep. which yep. has got a ton of content. A lot of the past programs we've had, a lot of calendar and things yeah. that we've got in the future.
Yeah.
And it's an exciting project, and I think Liz, you're right. Without her, this would not have happened.
She's something else. Well, and it ties in with our conversation here about the role of government, how we manage ourselves, and then at the base of that, how we just get along.
Yeah.
And her comment has been repeatedly, you know, it's amazing, and you mentioned this, even as a commissioner, beginning to see county employees in a different light. Why? Because they have faces now, and they have families, and they have things that they do with their time that you can connect to. And so her I guess you'd say thesis has always been, if you can get two people to have lunch together, have a conversation together, by golly, they're going to find there's a lot that they discover they have in common.
Yeah, it's hard to be upset or mad at somebody when you're breaking bread with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, to your earlier comment about governments and just generally getting along, you know, I've said earlier that if you know, people laugh and think it's kind of sport when the city and the county fights. It really slows the process down,
isn't it?
And it costs us money. And the same thing with the city, county, and schools.
Yeah.
And I take that to the state, and I would take that to the federal government. The reality is that's our job, meaning the elected officials, to figure out
right.
how to work that stuff out. So
right.
when people call us and say, we've got a question about why did my child get districted for this school? Mm. Well, I'm not a school board member, but I feel a little bit incumbent to say, I know your school board member. I can problem sue. I can probably get you an answer or get you in front of them a little quicker than you just trying to run the traps. And that is the kind of thing I think that we are responsible for doing.
It's interesting when you think about the process, how it is that I get my needs met, or how is it that I get my point of view heard. And so in the wake of the Martin decision, you had this occupation going on there at the Capitol, right? So now the pushback is, oh, well, we're going to have to change the rules about that. Then you have the Senator Cruz, who in his own way launches his demonstration, his occupancy yeah. of the Senate floor. Yeah. Now, we want to stand back and go, man, you're just wasting our time. And you could say that to anybody in either of those situations. What a waste of time. You cost us money. But you got to ask yourself, what is the price of freedom? What is the price of that open, honest discussion? So if we have two governments that seem to want to go at each other every now and then, city, county, I don't like that. I don't like the fact that it does distract and it does cost us money. And you look at it and go, really? But if the outcome is commissioners from both sides, or officials in some capacity from both sides, they started having lunch together.
Right.
And maybe that's a good thing.
You know, I mean, I'm not naive enough to say everybody should be singing Kumbaya and holding hands.
Oh, come on.
The reality is we're going to disagree.
Yeah.
And when I first got elected chair at the county,
yeah.
I said, look, I come from a big Catholic family. We fought like cats and dogs. But at the end of the night, you sat down and you had dinner and you say your prayers, and that's the way it worked.
Yep.
I feel like having a spirited debate, I don't care if it's a physical debate over the issue. Is what we're responsible for doing. But that doesn't make one of us good or bad. It just means that we have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
And so having that debate over the issue is what we're hired to do.
Well, and if organizations like the Village Square can give us that additional pressure valve release opportunity, right? So maybe we don't have to show up in court.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we do. But I think that if we're making the effort along the way to encourage that dialogue. President Eric Barron was here a couple of weeks ago and kind of doing everything that we've done in this sort of routine. That is not the best environment for entrepreneurialism and innovation.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I think Tallahassee's right at that tipping point, right at that intersection where we are on the verge of kind of bursting out and becoming somebody that everybody talks about on a national level. I've got a friend of mine who moved here recently, and he said, I looked at Asheville and I looked at Sedona, which are two very cool cities in this country. And he's a big kayaker. And he said, you know, people, kayaking is world class here. We're getting ready to go live or going live with the whole concept of Trailahassee here. Which is going to be the whole network of mountain bike trails, road bike trails, kayaking trails, all mapped on a GIS so you can pick up your smartphone and then choose Tallahassee, which is another very cool thing. So,
Well, you know, it's been too long since you've been here, and so we'll have to have you back again soon so we can catch up. There's so much to talk about, folks. This is the why I love this show. I love the fact that you're here with me and with Commissioner Brian DeLoge having a conversation about the things that make Leon County what it is, make our community Tallahassee something more than what we imagined it to be. That it's becoming, within our own grasp, within our own time, a new community. And so I think I would say, Commissioner, thank you on
Absolutely.
Behalf of
and
us
let
all.
Me just one last plug. Mm-hmm. If there are things that people think we can do differently or better, people that travel around or see something could be improved, pick up a phone and call us, or better yet, send us an email and give us some ideas. You know, we don't have all the ideas, and I'm not going to sit here and say I'm any smarter than anybody else out there, but it's a collective vision.
Yeah, we knew that. But thank you for that admission. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Folks, that's what we have for you today. We'll be looking for you again next Saturday morning, bright and early, 9 o'clock, Freedom 93.3 FM. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.